The idea of the landlord leasing the land to the developer, then allowing the developer to get a construction loan on the land and subordinating the landowner's lease interest as a landlord is a fairly risky situation. In some respects, as mentioned a page or two later in the outline, this is kind of like the idea that a developer is going to negotiate a deal where a landowner contributes a piece of land to a limited partnership that the developer forms, and they decide to jointly develop this property. But remember that usually in those cases, the limited partner is going to have benefits of ownership as well as benefits of being a limited partner in the income of the project. So you need to think in terms of, if we're going to subordinate this lien or this lease, you need to think in terms, I think, that you have to match the depreciated or deteriorated quality of what the landlord has by giving the landlord some income, some interest in the income from the project that will offset that greater risk. So we're going to talk about some of the ways to do that. But just to set the stage, the parties to the four, there are four parties to a transaction like this. You have the landlord who owns the land, the developer who wants to develop the land, the construction lien holder, and I guess it's three parties, construction lien holder, who's going to provide the money for the improvement of the land. The landlord is going to be very nervous about, you know, allowing the subordination to take place. What the landlord wants ideally is an unsubordinated ground lease combined with liens securing the construction financing, which encumber only the developer's leasehold interest. That way, a foreclosure by the construction lender on the developer's interest will affect only the leasehold interest and not the landlord or the landlord's ownership interest of the property or its interest of the landlord in the lease, and it won't be affected at all. Moreover, in a properly negotiated ground lease, the landlord will then wind up owning the improvements that were financed with the construction loan. One thing that if you're going to negotiate this, the lender is going to want to have the developer and the lender want to have a subordination, non-disturbance, and attornment agreement with the fee landowner, allowing the ground lease to remain in effect as to the fee estate, notwithstanding the default by the landlord on the debt, the developer on the debt, and the lien holders taking possession, and to assure that the foreclosure, the landlord granting a fee leasehold, fee loan to a third-party lender, and what we're doing is protecting the rights of the developer and the construction lender. The developer and the construction lender will also want to have a right that the subordination will apply to any pickup lease that the construction lender or the developer may want to obtain in the future, under a provision that says that if the original tenant defaults and the lease is terminated, there's a period of time during which either the developer or the construction lender, usually the construction lender, can pick up the lease and put it back into effect. And that has a lot of provisions in there dealing with catch-up of leases and things like that, catch-up of rental. And you also want to have a provision that says that any liens placed on the fee estate during the term of the lease will be automatically subordinated to the rights of the developer under the lease, and provide a memorandum of a lease to be recorded for that purpose. There's some protections that a landlord whose interest is going to be subordinated, securing financing by the tenant. Number one, the landlord's going to want to have notice and opportunity to cure any defaults by the tenant on the financing at the same time that such notices are given to the tenant. The landlord wants to have an opportunity to cure such defaults, which can be cured on the same basis as the tenant, and also for a period extending beyond the expiration of the tenant's cure period. And if there are some defaults that cannot be cured, such as a sale of the property or a change in ownership, that sort of thing, then landlord's going to want the construction lender to waive that default and such uncurable defaults as long as the landlord cures any curable monetary defaults and any curable non-monetary defaults.